Let's pray. God, we do give thanks. Thanks for this day. Thanks for the lives we have. Thanks for the beauty that is all around us and the friends you surround us with. Thanks for this church. Thanks for the word. And thanks for Jesus. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds, so we can give thanks for the word you have in store for us today. Amen. One of the things I miss most about living in the South, about North Carolina and Texas, is that almost everyone is up for conversation all of the time. It used to take me at least twice as long to walk my dog, because in Texas, almost every neighbor would stop and ask, "Hi, how are you?" Sometimes the conversation would end after a cheerful greeting, but most of the time, people would want to tell me a story about something in their lives. In Colorado, I've noticed that such interactions are rare. If you say hi to someone walking their dog, you're lucky to even get a hi back. Most of the time, they just nod their head and keep walking. Another thing I miss about the South is how everyone always says thank you. And there, whenever anyone says thank you, it's automatic that the other person will reply, "You're welcome," which turns a simple social grace into a real relationship, a real act of shared pleasure and hospitality. And there the people love to stress the welcome, right, Lois Ann? I miss that. That is not what I experienced while growing up in Ohio. Especially in Ohio, when someone says thank you, the most likely response is, "Don't mention it," which is really an outright criticism, making the person wonder if they should ever say thank you again, or "the pleasure's all mine," which is also a correction and leaves you feeling pretty miserable. Or the worst possible response, "Not at all," which suggests that the person saying thank you is just plain wrong. Our gospel story this morning starts out looking like a story of healing. 10 lepers approach Jesus and say, "Master, have mercy on us." Jesus sends them to the priests, and as they went, they were made clean. In this short verse, we learn a lot about healing. We find that God listens to those who cry out for mercy. We learn that the way to responding to Jesus and to find healing is through simple obedience. We also learn that healing sometimes takes time. In Luke's story of the lepers, Jesus is on the borderlands of Galilee and Samaria, and he tells the lepers to go and see the priests, who almost all live in Jerusalem. That's a long journey, and the text tells us that the lepers were healed on the way, not straight away. By the time we get to the second part of our story, we've already learned a lot about healing. But then the text tells us that one of the lepers comes back and says, "Thank you." This leper can't help but draw his body close to the body of Jesus. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, it says, and thanked him. When Jesus sees this man's gratitude, Jesus identifies this attitude with faith. "Your faith has made you well. It saved you," Jesus says. And this tells us the most important thing about healing, that there's a big difference between healing and salvation. All 10 lepers are healed. Only one of them is saved. All 10 lepers get to live lives free of social stigma, discrimination, and exclusion. Only one of them gets to enter into the company of Jesus. For 9 lepers, Jesus is a means to the end. For 1 leper, Jesus is an end in himself. And the key difference between those 9 lepers and the one lies in those 2 simple words: thank you. Our story this morning is one about thankfulness. It's a story about the posture of the healed man before Jesus, at Jesus' feet, moved with gratitude. In it, we are reminded that our faith has everything to do with those two most important words, thank you. Those words are what enable us to become the people that God longs for us to become, a people of gratitude, a people who develop thankfulness as a way of life, gratefulness for how we receive our days, how we accept one another, and how we live with ourselves. Our Mennonite ancestors loved to talk about yieldedness as the heartbeat of this way of living, that yieldedness is to be the pulse of our faith, a spirituality of Gelassenheit, they called it. They recognized that much of our lives, much of the world, it's beyond our control. No one can keep the sun from rising and setting. No one can change the seasons. No one can keep it from getting cold and snowing as much as I might like. Our Mennonite ancestors talked about Gelassenheit as a way of acknowledging our powerlessness, a powerlessness that helps us recognize our dependency on God. For life is not ultimately a story about us, it's a story about God. The leper who returned, he recognized this that day. By saying thank you, the leper realized that he has been healed not because of anything that he has done, not because he trained or researched, not because he dieted or even prayed. No, the reason he has been healed is because God's power has been revealed in him. When we are reflecting on our lives, past, present, future, do we judge it on how much we have achieved, on how much stuff we possess, or even how many people love us? Or do we judge our lives on whether they are the kinds of lives where the glory of God has been revealed? The curious thing about the glory of God is that generally it isn't revealed in things like accomplishments and success. No, God's glory tends to be revealed in the lives of people who overwhelmed with gratitude, with thanksgiving, even when, especially when, their lives are broken and filled with big holes. The Samaritan leper was such a person. He had such a life. So can we. I'm generally hesitant to make generalizations. So I admit I could be wrong about this. Please tell me if you think I'm missing something here. But there seems to be two ways to respond to the lives that we have, to the world that we live in. The first is gratitude, knowing that despite our best efforts, despite our successes and our mistakes, that the life we have now is the only one that we ever will have. And throughout the lead up to today, all the decisions we have made, so much of what we have, so much of who we are, it depends on factors beyond our control, variables beyond our power, the sheer unpredictability of life. As we gather up all the parts of us that make us who we are, here today, we can only claim the smallest fraction of power, of control and mastery over who we are. By and large, our lives are awash in dependencies, from genetics to relationships. There's an otherness to our lives, an otherness that is beyond our grasp, beyond our ability to affect and change. Like I said, one response to all of this is gratitude, reminding ourselves of our dependency on all of it, our dependency on God and others. And this means a posture of yieldedness, a constant return to God, to our dependency on God, the one who, despite it all, as the psalmist says, the one who has not let our feet slip. The other response, it seems, is resentment. Resentment of ourselves and others. We resent ourselves because we've always imagined ourselves as in control of our lives, as control of our worlds. And so we blame ourselves for the things that we don't have. We blame ourselves for the lives that we don't have. We resent ourselves and others because fundamentally we were consumed with regret, with thoughts about how we could have constructed our lives differently, how we should have made smarter and wiser decisions back then, back when we made all the decisions that mattered, back when we could have made a difference. If resentment is how we deal with our lives, then we give ourselves over to the weight of guilt because we tell ourselves that we should have known better, we should have done better, we should have been in control. We find ourselves with two options for how we go about our lives, either yieldedness or control, gratitude or resentment. All of the lepers, they were healed, but only one of them responded with gratitude. Only that one, Jesus says, had faith. It's not that only grateful people get healed. Jesus heals all 10 of them, no matter their response. That's what grace means. Gratitude isn't another way for getting what we want. Gratitude is not another form of control, an attitude to convince God to give you what you want or what you think you deserve. Instead, what's at stake in this story is faith, what it means to live in faith, to go on in faith and to respond to life with faith. Healing happens or it won't. That's often beyond our control. But what one leper shows is that faith is gratitude, a yielded way of life that acknowledges our dependency on God, a way of life that remembers that all that we have, the lives that we have, that we even have lives at all, that's a gift, a grace, a sign that God has not abandoned us, our breath, a revelation, that the Spirit is still at work in this world. Gratitude, that's a refusal to give up hope, a commitment to this life that God has given us, to the days that are set before us. What the leper shows us is that faith really comes down to the art of learning those two words, thank you. For the simple reality is life may not have been this way at all. Life could have been very different. God might not have created the world. God might not have created human beings. God might not have come in Jesus and saved us from our sins. God might not have sent God's Holy Spirit to empower the church. God might not have created you or me. It could have been a very different story, with no place for me, with no place for any of us. And the way we recognize that things could have been very different lies in those simple two words, thank you. When the Samaritan leper said thank you, he entered into a whole new community. Luke's gospel is all about God bringing God's people out of the exile of political oppression, physical sickness, spiritual blindness, and communal exclusion by forming a new community around the crucified and risen Jesus. Four times in Luke's gospel, Jesus says the words, your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you. So it's reasonable to group those four people together. The first is a woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee, whom everyone knew to be a sinner. The second is a woman of 12 years of hemorrhages. The third is our Samaritan leper. The fourth is a blind beggar. In other words, Jesus makes a new community out of the sinner, the sick, the second class, the disabled, the foreigner, and the socially excluded. And what do all four of these people have in common in Luke's gospel? Gratitude. All of them are astonished and joyful and full of thanks for being made part of God's larger story in Jesus. We too can be parts of that story. All it takes is learning how to say those simple words, thank you. All it takes is learning that gratitude is to be the nature of our faith. It's how we rest into God's love for us, God's love for the life that we have, God's love for who we are right now. When you say thank you to the person who serves your food, who holds the door open for you, to the person who notices that you're limping. In this small way, you're realizing that it doesn't have to be this way. And you're recognizing that, like God, this person has made you part of a much larger story. To say thank you is to recognize your dependency upon another person. To say, you make my life possible. And to say thank you is to slowly and gradually become the most powerful person in the world. A person so filled with awe and wonder with the life that they have that's been given by God, that no suffering or cruelty, manipulation or misunderstanding, disease or tragedy can ever break your spirit. The most powerful person in the world is the one who, in the face of tragedy or scarcity, can see somehow beyond it to God's glory and abundance. Nothing can ever destroy such a person. One such a person was Martin Rinkhart, who began serving as pastor in the small German town of Eilenburg in 1618, right before the slaughter of the 30-year war. This was a period so catastrophic that the population of Germany went from 16 million to 6 million in just 30 years. Eilenburg was a walled city, which meant it became a crowded haven for refugees alike. And this left the city very vulnerable to disease and famine. During the 1630s, the city experienced a series of horrible plagues. And during the worst year, Martin Rinkhart was the only pastor remaining in the city of Eilenburg. All the other pastors, they either died or they fled. That year alone, Rinkhart conducted more than 4,000 funerals. He even conducted 50 funerals once in a single day. During that time of death, Martin Rinkhart lost more than half of his household, including his wife. No one could ever have blamed him if he would have felt angry and unforgiving and resentment towards God. But despite his grief, in the face of such extreme suffering and starvation, Rinkhart remained steadfast. He organized daily efforts to feed the hungry. He opened his own home to provide refugee for those who were in need. And he continued to faithfully serve Jesus and God's people. One day, during the very worst of times, Rinkhart sat down and wrote one of the most famous hymns in the German language, Nun danket alle Gott, which we know in English, and now thank we all our God. Some of you surely know it. Others will have a chance to learn it in a few moments. Viewing the wreckage of war and the folly of his fellow human beings, Rinkhart still saw the ultimate grace of God, which had given him life, given him Jesus, given him hope, given him friends, and still gave him faith. So like the Samaritan leper, Rinkhart did the simple and yet most powerful thing he could ever do. He said thank you to God. It's difficult to imagine what it might mean for Martin Rinkhart to be healed. But it's hard to doubt that he was saved. And in writing this hymn, we display and discover the truth that he learned as he wrote it. The power of saying thank you. Martin Rinkhart was a person in whom God's glory was revealed to the world. And it was revealed through his ability and his willingness, even amid untold suffering, to say thank you to the God of glory and wonder, the God who created us all, who suffers in our suffering, and who alone can raise us to new life. May we too learn to say thank you in great ways and in small ways, so that we too may become people in whom God's glory is revealed. Amen.
So if you would turn in your hymnals to number 85, this is the hymn that Ryan is referencing. You'll remember many of us learned the hymn on 86, which is, if you notice in the notes at the bottom of the hymn, it talks about the harmonization that was provided by Anderson many years later. And so we're going to do number 85, which is one of the, I would assume anyway, would be more the original composition that Ryan's referring to. It's a little different in the rhythm, which is kind of typical of that time. There's no time signature, it just sort of rolls along. So if I mess it up, sorry.
Now thank we all our God, and pardon hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has
women of this church and some of the other churches have been working at least once a month and in the summer almost every week to finish this beautiful quilt up here. I invite you all after church to come up and look at it if you haven't seen it. The back is particularly stunning as well. So this morning we want to just bless it and bless everyone who puts in all the hard work to make it possible. For this reminds us what it means to be a people of peace. Let's pray. God, when I look at this quilt, I think about hands. I think about all the hands that made this quilt possible. Those hands remind us that peace is not possible without the use of our hands. Without being willingness to get dirty and to do things to bring transformation and beauty into this world. We give thanks for all the hands that made this quilt possible. We give thanks for the hands that this quilt will keep warm. We give thanks for the people who will bid it up and buy it. And we give thanks for MCC, for Mennonite Central Committee, and for all the work they are doing to bring peace and justice to our world. To remind us that God's light in heaven is possible as long as we are willing to use our hands to make it so. Bless this quilt, bless this sale, and bless whoever buys it. May it remind us of how your peace is being made possible in us and through us and among us every day. Amen.
Will the ushers please come forward for this morning's offering? Let's pray. Gracious God, all our knowing has led us here. We see by your light, we stand in your mercy, we live in your life. We love in your love. O Lord, we are afloat in gratitude, and with gratefulness we offer these gifts, receiving our knowing and our giving, and make us an offering to the world you love. Amen.